something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled, Exercising Your Spirit.
Hallelujah. I want us to share a few things from God's Word that I believe will inspire you and bless you. Glory to Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm reading to you from verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's nice. If you want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, it tells you one of the ways to be a good minister. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast also attained. Words of faith and of good doctrine. Some people have good doctrine, but no faith, no words of faith, the message of faith. So you have to have the message of faith and good doctrine. Hallelujah. And then it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. A very important spiritual instruction. He says, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Now, what does it mean by exercise yourself rather unto godliness? He means, exercise yourself in the God life. Are you getting it? Exercise yourself in the God life. In other words, practice the God life. What do you mean the God life? I'm talking about the divine life, the spirit life. You get it? Now, I said the spirit life to be clear enough, because if you say the spiritual life, you might be thinking about the religious life. But I mean the spirit life, meaning the hidden man of the spirit, the inward man, your spirit. God wants us to exercise the human spirit, the inner life. The lot of Christians who are not acquainted with the inner life, they do all the nice things, but the spirit is not exercised to godlikeness. And that's what he's saying we should do. Now let's read that verse 7 one more time. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise, you see that? The exercise of the outward man, he says, profited little. The exercise of the outward man profited little. But godliness, godlikeness, acting like him, is profitable unto all saints. Hallelujah. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. I like this. It tells us how to have a wonderful life on earth, and also a great life in the world to come. There are people who have what by human standard may be a great life on earth, or they sure don't have any light in heaven. They're not going to go that way. They're not going to have any part in the world to come. But it tells us here how we can have a great life in the world that now is and in that which is to come. For bodily exercise profited little. You know, a lot of you give good time to building a V chest. Some of you try your best to be in shape, your physical body. You want to be okay. And that's nice. The Bible says, yeah, there's little profit in it. But godliness, godliness, godlikeness is profitable unto all things. In other words, even what you're trying to get from your physical exercise, he says, if you put your spirit first, you'll be all right physically. Why? Because if you put your spirit first, you would not overeat until you get so fat, or become indisciplined not to eat and get so thin. See? So those who want to be, you want to be in good shape, still have a great opportunity by putting God's word first. You don't lose anything. You can't read your Bible until you get too fat. Hallelujah. It works all around. Now, he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself in the spirit. You know, if a child were left to himself in a room, nobody ever talked to him. He never had to relate with anybody in any way. Never saw anybody walking. They just fed him in a certain way. Made sure he never related with anybody. Never saw anybody walking. Never heard anybody talking. He would grow up lame, deaf, and dumb. And his mind would be blocked. Because you see, we have to exercise our senses as we grow up. We have to exercise our senses. And the more you exercise your senses, the more intelligent you become. You exercise your mind also. Now, you know, when you're asked a question, and instead of thinking through the question and rendering an answer, you say, "But I don't know." The moment you say, "I don't know," your mind becomes blocked. You send a message down your system. We don't have to think. Your mind becomes blocked. When you say, "Well, I can't remember," your brain stops functioning in that direction. It refuses to go. You know, it's like when you try to remember something, your mind plays like a film. You know, like the computer, trying to search for the information, checking all the files. You understand? That's the way your mind works. When you're trying to remember something, when you say, "Oh, I don't remember," it stops the program. You see that? And because of that, you know, thank God for technology. But the more we rely on technology, the less thinking we do for ourselves. You know that, don't you? All those folks who have to use their calculators to find out five times two. Five times two. They get a calculator out. They got a problem. See, 320 times 25. They need a calculator. It's nothing wrong. You're just not exercising your mind. That's all. But that wouldn't have been a serious problem if it stopped there. It doesn't stop there. A lot of us just don't like to think. We just don't like to use our minds. Some people say, "Well, I read the Bible. I never remember the scriptures." Why? Memorize it. When you were taught to memorize the multiplication table, it wasn't because somebody didn't know about the calculator. They're trying to teach you to use your mind. Exercise your mind. Exercise your intellect. Learning to remember things. See? So all of that time you were in school and somebody was giving you notes and notes and notes and notes and notes to reproduce something, it wasn't because they were so interested in the information. They were only teaching you how to find information. How to use your mind. Tell somebody close to you, exercise your mind. Yeah. See, it's just like you exercise your body. You exercise your body to get better, be in good shape. You know? You exercise your mind. Now the apostle tells you something. He says, all of that exercise is wonderful, but exercise yourself spiritually. In other words, get your spirit active. Get your spirit active. Train your spirit. Exercise your spirit. He says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Hello. I said, exercise your spirit. It's great to exercise your body. It's great to exercise your mind. All right? But exercise your spirit. Because it says, the exercise of the human spirit is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You want to be successful? Exercise your spirit. Hallelujah. See, I like it when the Word of God shows us our responsibilities, what we can do. Because you see, there are a lot of people who expect God to do everything. They just want to, all they want to do is say, oh God, thank you. Go ahead and work. But God wants you to know your role. There are a lot of people who are angry with God. Why don't you go to church? Oh, I told God to do something for me and he didn't. He failed me. You failed God. See, nature never made a mistake. Come on here. Nature never made a mistake. And nature never produced a failure. There are no natural born failures. No natural born failures. Everybody was born with the seed of success in him. And as you were growing up, it was up to you to cultivate the soil of your heart. Decide to grow that thing or to let it fail. Failure is a man's responsibility. God never made a failure.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org. For an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life and who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Lagos Zone 2. Christ Embassy Close, opposite King Pet Filling Station, Agor Palace Way, Okota. And Christ Embassy, 6/8, Adilakun Street, Egbe, Lagos. Worship with us on Sunday, first service, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. Second service, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send a mail to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. This is a continuation of the message, Exercising Your Spirit.
Hallelujah. Nature never made a mistake. Come on here. Nature never made a mistake. And nature never produced a failure. There are no natural born failures. No natural born failures. Everybody was born with the seed of success in him. And as you were growing up, it was up to you to cultivate the soil of your heart. Decide to grow that thing or to let it fail. Failure is a man's responsibility. God never made a failure. Never. No one was born to fail. If you've been failing in life, failing at work, failing in your family, failing in your finances, it's not God's plan. Now, can you remember that? Say, God never made a failure. Think it in your mind and say, God never made a failure.
God never made a
failure. No one was born to fail. So, success is your right as well as your responsibility. You ought to be successful in everything you do. Now, let no man deceive you by telling you that life is full of ups and downs. He's telling you his own experience of life. And that's not good enough. Don't believe it. You don't have to fail and win and fail and win. You don't have to have ups and downs. You can choose to have one journey only, upward and forward. Hallelujah. That's the way I go. Upward and forward only. No downs. Hallelujah. No downs. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. We were born to be successful, born to be God's glory. Hallelujah. Born to be victorious, to be prosperous, to live a healthy, happy, and fulfilled life. Now, anything short of that is a mistake. Hallelujah. Remember, there are many people who don't believe that. Don't forget it. And because they don't believe that, they can't get it. Now, I've not been sick for many years, and I will never be sick again in my life. But you know what? There was a time that I got sick, and I told you about it. I got sick several times. I got sick. I got sick big. And I once spent 10 days in the hospital many years ago. But you know what? In the midst of the sickness, I said, I believe in divine health. I knew what was better. I knew what the Bible said. I knew I needed to find out something I just didn't know, how to make it work. What was the problem? I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew I was ignorant of something. One time they were taking me to the doctor. I still said, I am not sick. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not sick. I said, yes, you're not sick. Yes, yes. And they dragged me there. Sat in front of the doctor. He said, tell me what the problem is. I said, doctor, I'm not sick. He looked at me and he thought, oh yeah. He now thought I was really sick, you know. And they sent me in for some tests. They all came out negative. Everything was negative. But I was in trouble in my body. I said to my wife, I told you I was not sick. She said, yeah, we'll go to another doctor. We went to another doctor. They put me on the stretcher. The man checked me everywhere. My ears, my nostrils, my mouth, my eyes, everything he could check. He checked. Then he was looking. This was 1992. He was looking at me. Then he said to my wife, "What work does he do?" Oh, she said, "He's a preacher." The doctor said, "I see." He said, "He needs rest. He doesn't rest." And then he gave me three tablets. He said, "If you drive, don't take this." He said, "You take them one after the other." I took the first one. It knocked me out. I slept 4 hours. Took the second one, knocked me out. I got better already. Took the third one. Boy, was I good. I said, "Wow, nice. I don't need to rest. All I have to do is this tablet." So what? Few months later, same thing happened again. Went back to that same doctor. And I said, "Doctor, I know what the problem is. What about that tablet you gave me that time? I didn't know the name. I said, can I have it?" He was an elderly man. He just looked at me. He said, "Oh, no. You become dependent on it." He said, "Just go home and sleep." I said, "Go home and sleep. I need something to help me sleep." He said, "That's what you don't need. Just go and sleep. Go and sleep." I said, "All right, I'll go and sleep." And I went and I slept and I was better. But then I learned something. Tell you, brothers and sisters, if you will stay in God's word, you will not be sick. But you know, I learned my lesson and I stopped running myself down until the battery was out. Did you get it? You know, some of us will not charge our telephone until it was dead. Glory to God. But the point of all that is this. Did I feel terrible in my body? Yes. But it wasn't going to dictate my confession. It wasn't going to dictate my believing. It wasn't going to affect my faith. And that's the reason they couldn't find nothing wrong with me. And do you know there are a lot of Christians who are dying without anything wrong with them? If you let the devil, he could kill you with a strand of hair on your head. He could kill you just you coughing. If you let the devil. I said, "Well, we don't know why that fellow died in the accident. Was he supposed to?" "No. Why did he die in the accident?" Well, he was a Christian. He was very committed. "We don't know what happened." "What do you mean you don't know what happened?" It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. "Oh, my wife was giving birth and then she died in the process." What does the word say? She shall be saved in childbearing. That's written in the word. Why should a Christian lady die giving birth? It's not acceptable. It shouldn't be. But why does it happen? It happens because we don't believe what we say we believe. The word is there. She shall be saved, preserved, delivered, kept in childbearing. In other words, whenever, you see, it is a natural thing for a woman to give birth. It's not a problem. So why do they die then? They heard the other lady died. They knew her. "Am I going inside? Oh God, I hope I will come back." Now to the husband, "If anything happens, please tell my father." "You've been carrying this in 9 months now." She's crying. She's not even gone in yet. "There's a labor. It's terrible." Then she goes in and doesn't come back. And we say, "Why? What do you mean, why?" We make life look mysterious. And it's not mysterious. You know, people, they make their failure look mysterious. We don't know why. It's an attack. What do you mean it's an attack? Are you not supposed to be on the offensive? Now, the message is, exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise your spirit. See, because your spirit is the real you. Your spirit is the real man. Hallelujah. Now, that's where the power of the Holy Ghost is, in your spirit. The only reason the Holy Ghost dwells in your body is because your body houses your spirit, where the Holy Ghost dwells. There is a spirit life that should be operative. All right, let's look at the word now. Now, that's the introduction, all right? You catching it? All right. Now, the first thing for us to recognize in exercising our human spirit, see, I'm sharing with you the how-to of God's Word, all right? Because it's one thing to tell you to exercise the spirit, it's another thing to tell you how to do it. And that's what I want to share with you now. How do you do it? How do you exercise your spirit? Firstly, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Oh, ho, 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 glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, ho, 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 hallelujah. I'm reading to you from verse 14. And what I really want to show you is in the 15th verse. 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able, they have a divine ability, able to make thee wise. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you. Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Lagos Zone 2, Christ Embassy Close, opposite King Pet Filling Station, Agor Palace Way, AGP Palace Way, Okota, and Christ Embassy 6/8, Adelakun Street, Egbe, Lagos. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send a mail to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com.